This morning's scripture reading is from Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved.
So we start off this morning with a reference to a tent, but we're not talking about camping. Some many translations talk about the holy hill as God's holy tabernacle. These references are to remind the people of a period in their history when they received the law, the most important period of their history. Now, as I said before, not all of you spent much time in a tent, but if you have, you know that it's sort of a temporary shelter. If it's raining, it's nice to be in the tent. But if there's a storm coming, say a tornado, a tent's not all that great to be in. Better than nothing, but it's not. You still feel pretty vulnerable. People who heard the psalmist talk about the tent are reminded of that time that they spent in the wilderness when they felt vulnerable all the time, but when they celebrated the fact that they'd been freed from slavery, and then after a period of time, they received the law. And in receiving the law, they then know how they were supposed to live with God and with each other. So it's a great formative time. Now, the law that they received in the wilderness was just the Ten Commandments. They expanded upon that later. And so just for a quick summary, let's remind ourselves of what the Ten Commandments are, because they're referenced, not all of them, but several of them are referenced in this Psalm 15. So the first four, we know, are about our relationship with God. First one being, of course, that we're not to have multiple gods, we're to only have one God, and we're never to make an image or a graven idol of that God. We're to never take the Lord's name in vain. And this does not mean that we don't swear using God's name. It means that when we make an oath, we keep it. We don't promise something in God's name that we don't intend to keep, which is referenced in our Psalm 15 today. And then the fourth of those of related to God are to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. The final six involve how we get along with each other. And the first is to honor our parents. Honoring them is different than loving them or caring for them. It's a respectful term, but we're supposed to have a certain reverence for our parents. The next five are not to commit murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, and not to covet. Or desire your neighbor's stuff. And that last one is a thought more than an action. But it's important because how many times have we seen tragic stories that start with a desire for something that consumes the person to where they then lie and steal and sometimes even commit murder. So this is how we're meant to live. And Psalm 15 kind of picks that up and says, if we live this way, we will walk blamelessly on the earth. Now, I don't think that's the most easy translation to understand, because that almost sounds like we'll never make a mistake or do anything that's wrong, and that's not quite accurate. I think what's a better translation, a more helpful one, at least in my opinion, is to talk about the ability to walk on the earth with integrity, with the ability to know that I've done right, that I don't have to walk with any worry or anxiety, but to walk with the integrity of knowing that I've done what God has asked of me, no matter what anybody else might say or think. And then the rest of the psalm goes on to tell us how to walk like that. First is, you do what is right. The Ten Commandments come back to us. You do not, you speak the truth from your heart. That what you really know to be true, you say. And you don't ever slander anybody. Now, slander is not just lying about people. It's saying things that will cause them harm and difficulty. That's what slander means. That you intend to hurt somebody by what you say about them. The next section goes on that we are to be do well for our neighbors. We are to be kind, helpful to our neighbors. And then we are to avoid all evil. And lastly, we're to keep our oaths. Don't take the Lord, take the Lord's name, right, with integrity, not vain. Keep our oaths, even if it's going to harm us. And there are times when if we do the right thing, if we say the right thing, if we point to the right thing, it might cost us something. Sometimes it might even cost us our job, but we're to do that. The last part of it is probably the more difficult for us in this culture, in this economic system, but when we have people who we know, our neighbors that we're to take care of, who have a need, and we have money to lend them, we're not to charge them interest. And that's fairly simple, but it's helpful by adding a couple pieces to it from the rest of the of what Jesus might tell us. Because Jesus made it clear who our neighbor is, which is everybody, not just the person next door. And then Jesus goes on to say that the reason why we don't charge interest is we should never benefit from someone else's misfortune, especially if we have the means to help them. Now, just think about it this way. We often refer to the story of the Good Samaritan. Samaritan who found a person in the ditch who'd been beaten up and robbed and left for dead. And the Samaritan comes along and helps that person and binds their wounds, takes them to a place to stay, gives money to the innkeeper to cover all the expenses. But imagine, that's where the story ends, which then Jesus goes on and talks about what it means to be a neighbor, because the Samaritan didn't know this person. But imagine if we were to learn that a year later, the Samaritan showed back up to the person he'd helped and said, a year ago I did all this, here's my expenses, and I expect this much interest. Would you still think of that as the Good Samaritan? That would change the story, okay? And that's what Jesus is saying. If you are able to help somebody, that should be reward enough. And if someone is in need, you should never benefit from their misfortune. Now, putting all of this into perspective, in a more modern day time, we might reflect upon, let's say, the last week. You see, last week when I called in sick, I think most of you believed me. Because I have earned the fact that most of the time I tell the truth. Right? And I haven't misled you before. But you have to believe me, right? Because last week was a unique situation. Because Bev was going to Pleasant Chapel to lead a workshop. And so, in theory, I could have taken her to Pleasant Chapel, dropped her off, called in sick, and then gone out for brunch. And you wouldn't have known. Had I done that, I would have gone to Michigan. But I didn't do that. In part because I thought it through a few more steps and realized I'd have to get Bev in on the scheme, and that would never happen. But while we're talking about truth-telling, let's continue that theme. If you were to ask me if I enjoyed staying home last week, the answer would be yes. Yes, because I was pretty sick and didn't really want to go anywhere. Also, I didn't want to infect anybody else with what I had. And so I really preferred to stay home. Now, that's rarely the case because most of the time I prefer to be here. But under those conditions, the truthful answer is I was glad to stay home. Just a little bit disappointed that there weren't any Rocky and Bullwinkle reruns on TV, like there were when I was a kid and had to stay home. And as truth-telling goes on, even when I was a kid and was sick, I kind of enjoyed that more than I did going to church. But let's assume, continuing this example, that there's a skeptic or two among you who would say to many people, you know, we don't think he was sick. We think he was lying. We think he was just staying home to watch TV. Well, folks, that'd be slander, right? Because you may have your own skepticism, but by giving it voice and telling other people, your intention is to harm somebody. In this case, me, right? That's what slander is. That's a deliberate attempt to cause somebody else harm. Especially it's slanderous when it's not true. But let's continue this fantasy just a little more to help us understand the full dimensions of this scripture. Because let's say that last Sunday I called in sick and that was true. But a few years ago, I had done the same thing, and you found out that I lied, that it wasn't truthful. Then I simply called in sick one Sunday and then went to Michigan for brunch. By the way, it's closer from my house than here. You'd be mad if you'd found that out. And in this fantasy, the board was quite furious. And there was a bit of a process of reconciliation. And the board said, okay, you can keep your job, but only if you never, ever lie to us again. Now, under those conditions, even if I were truthfully sick, knowing the past pattern, I probably would hesitate to call in and cancel. So I'd show up and some of you had gotten sick. Right? That's the trouble with lying. That's why lying is such a problem. Because it puts us in a place where we can't be trusted again. And that's probably good. Because if people lie to you, you shouldn't trust them fully ever again. That's the reason why the scripture says not to lie. It has long-term consequences that aren't good. And let's say, well, and then the last part of it is, let's say that I knew I was sick, I knew I'd lied before, but I wanted to protect you from being sick, and so I tell the truth this time and call in sick, even if it might cost me my job. That's that last piece there. Sometimes doing what is required and what is right has some potentially negative consequences. The scripture tells us we should do it anyway. Well, that's what this scripture kind of focuses our attention on. And it has a lot to do about truth-telling and its value and its powers. Now, it's true that I'm leaving for a couple weeks. And you're free to say whatever you want to say about that or about me. But I remind you that whatever you say, it has a good way of finding its way back to me. Because, as I've said before, I have a lot of spies out there. But even if I didn't, the Lord our God hears and sees. And this scripture is a reminder of how we're looked at. Do we avoid evil? Do we tell the truth? Do we help people? Right? Do we speak with integrity from our heart? Those are the measures by which God judges us, and whatever we do, for good or for ill, is known and seen. Therefore, the scripture reminds us that we should, in all times, within our best ability, walk with integrity. Good luck.
Let's all stand and sing number 521, Come Thy Fountain.